A passenger collapses mid-flight from Haiti to Florida, convulsing with violent symptoms. Cholera has hitched a ride on Spirit Airlines. Emergency crews scramble to disinfect the plane while other passengers wait nearby, unknowingly exposed. This 2013 near miss reveals a troubling truth. Despite our advanced technology and medical knowledge, we remain desperately vulnerable to pandemic pathogens. Cholera alone has triggered 7 global pandemics since the 1800s, and it won't be the last disease to exploit our interconnected world. What transforms a local outbreak into a worldwide catastrophe isn't just the pathogen's biology, it's the social, political, and economic systems we've built that provide microbes with perfect pathways to spread. Understanding this pandemic pathway means examining not just how diseases evolve, but how human choices create the conditions for their success. Every pandemic begins with a microbe jumping from its animal host into humans. Vibrio cholera thrived peacefully in sea crustaceans until British colonists cleared Cinderbond's forests in the 1760s, creating unprecedented human contact with contaminated waters. The bacteria adapted to cling to human intestines and produce a toxin that reverses gut function, causing massive fluid loss that kills hosts and spreads through contaminated waste. This pattern repeats across diseases. Guinea's 1990s deforestation pushed bat populations near human settlements, transmitting Ebola and killing over 10,000 people. China's demand for exotic meats created wet markets where a bat coronavirus jumped to palm civets and then humans, causing the 2003 SARS outbreak. Northeastern forest fragmentation eliminated tick-destroying opossums, while deer flourished, exploding tick populations and Lyme disease, now infecting 300,000 Americans annually. Economic development and ecological disruption open doors for pathogens waiting to jump. Pathogens are microscopic and immobile. They need us to spread. When Chewy, a pet prairie dog, contracted monkeypox from African rodents, he was placed in a hamster ball with oxygen for treatment. This turned him into a pox virus bomb, aerosolizing the virus and helping infected prairie dogs spread monkeypox to 72 people across 6 states. Air travel has become the ultimate pathogen highway. Physicist Dirk Brockman showed that pandemics follow flight networks rather than geography. New York is closer to London than to nearby Providence on a flight time map. Medical tourism amplifies risks. 15% of patients at India's affordable facilities arrive from overseas, exposing themselves to unique microbes like the NDM1 superbug, now spread to 29 countries. Cholera couldn't have caused global pandemics without 19th century transportation revolutions. Scheduled packet ships introduced in 1817 transformed the Atlantic from barrier to highway. The Erie Canal, opened in 1825, slashed transportation costs by 95% while allowing waterborne pathogens to reach every corner of American society. We've built a global transportation network that serves pandemic pathogens brilliantly. Each gram of human excreta contains up to 1 billion viral particles, making waste an ideal pathogen transmission vehicle. Ancient Romans used elaborate water systems, delivering 300 gallons daily per resident to flush waste away. Yet by the 19th century, New Yorkers consumed approximately 2 teaspoons of fecal matter daily. Christianity's rise shifted attitudes away from ritualized hygiene, with prominent Christians viewing cleanliness as signaling an unclean soul. When bubonic plague struck, physicians wrongly blamed bathing, closing bathhouses, and creating a European aversion to water lasting centuries. By 1820, privies covered 1/12 of New York City, while thousands of animals defecated freely in streets. Manhattan's thin soil atop fractured bedrock allowed waste to contaminate shallow drinking wells. When cholera struck in June 1832, each glass of water potentially held 200 million bacteria, killing over 100 daily by mid-July. Today, industrial livestock farming generates 13 times more solid waste than humans in the United States. massive manure lagoons leach into groundwater and overflow during storms, enabling pathogens like Shiga toxin-producing E. coli to cause 70,000 infections annually. Pandemics escalate when private interests override public welfare. In 1797, Dr. Joseph Brown proposed an affordable public waterworks, delivering clean Bronx River water, a physician-endorsed solution that would have prevented waterborne diseases. Private interests killed it. Aaron Burr exploited the crisis for political gain, creating the Manhattan Company as a supposed water provider that secretly functioned as a Republican-friendly bank. After derailing the public waterworks through misinformation, Burr secured a charter to raise $2 million, with permission to use excess funds for banking. The company immediately drew from the contaminated collect pond despite knowing the water was disgusting, spending only $172,000 on waterworks while devoting the rest to banking. It distributed contaminated water through both cholera epidemics and eventually became JPMorgan Chase. Political leaders also undermined quarantine and public notification. New York's mayor and health board refused to alert citizens about cholera's 1832 arrival, fearing trade disruption. Officials denied cholera's presence even as cases mounted, possibly destroying quarantine records. Similar cover-ups persist. China treated SARS as a state secret. Cuba suppressed cholera news in 2012. Saudi Arabia punished the virologist who revealed MERS. Officials face unbalanced choices between certain economic costs and uncertain health benefits, a pattern transforming containable outbreaks into catastrophic pandemics. Fossil fuels enabled pandemic conditions through energy surpluses that accelerated urbanization and mobility, but their climate impact may prove even more consequential for disease emergence. By releasing ancient carbon 100,000 times faster than it formed, we've increased atmospheric CO2 by over 40% since pre-industrial times, changes that directly benefit pandemic pathogens. Scientists long believed cholera lived exclusively on land until Rita Colwell found Vibrio cholera in Chesapeake Bay in 1976, eventually identifying over 200 serogroups across five continents' waters. As oceans warmed, plankton populations shifted northward at 14 miles yearly. In 1961, L. tor cholera broke out of Sulawesi amid increasing rainfall and rising seas, striking Indonesia, the Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand, and China, killing up to 50,000 people. By 1971, it reached Africa. The seventh pandemic had begun. Climate change influences disease in multiple ways. Heavy rainfall preceded 68% of U.S. waterborne outbreaks between 1948-1994. Warming expands ranges for vectors like mosquitoes and ticks. The Asian tiger mosquito spread northward in Italy, while Aedes aegypti reached California in 2013. Most alarmingly, fungi rarely infect humans because our 98°F internal temperature exceeds their tolerance. Climate change threatens this protection by training fungi to tolerate higher temperatures, with diseases like valley fever increasing sevenfold in California and Arizona. We know where pandemics emerge and have technology to detect them early, yet remain unprepared. The 2014 Ebola epidemic exposed this paradox. Americans panicked despite minimal risk. Nearly two-thirds feared an epidemic. Schools quarantined teachers who'd visited distant African countries. And hazmat teams responded to routine illnesses. Meanwhile, endemic threats like Lyme disease, affecting 300,000 Americans annually, are ignored. We view pathogens through war metaphors. We attack illness and wage war on disease. This creates false expectations that diseases should be easily conquered, making seemingly invulnerable pathogens trigger disproportionate fear, while theoretically vulnerable ones inspire complacency despite causing greater harm. Enhanced surveillance could help, but Belle-Anse Haiti reveals its limitations. When cholera struck Haiti in 2010, digital surveillance predicted its spread to Belle-Anse with precision, yet this early detection made no difference. When cholera arrived in 2011, it killed at four times the rate elsewhere. The village was connected enough to receive the disease, but not connected enough to receive help. We've built a world perfect for pandemic spread, destroyed wild habitats, crowded into megacities, connected the globe through air travel, and warmed the planet. Yet, we've failed to build cooperative systems to contain threats. The question isn't whether another pandemic will come, it's whether we'll finally choose public health over private interests when it does.